Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Air conditioning seems to be working a little better today. It's doing better, yeah. Keep praying for those that are, you know, still traveling weekends, stuff like that, and pray, keep in touch with them, make sure they're okay. Let them let us know if they need anything in particular, but encourage them to continue to, come out. Summer, so don't stop church. You know, the only thing to stop in Glory, probably told you already, is Thursday night Bible study. After this week, we'll take a break. We're having it this week, but not after that, we'll take a break. But I want to thank everybody who's been praying for us. As you know, my mom went to be with the Lord last night, and just continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And, you know, many of you are dealing with a lot of tough stuff, you know. That's why we lift up one another in prayer. But we are rejoicing because she's no longer suffering, you know, and knowing where she is. And there'll be time to tell about the things, how God orchestrated all of this. It's just, there's amazing things that we can tell. But you know what? We have a connection today. We have, you know, my mom going to be with the Lord, but we have a baby to be dedicated, you know? And we have a picture, but we don't have it here. Maybe we'll show it sometime, where little Samantha, not too long ago, was reaching out, and her and my mom were holding hands. We'll have to get that picture up, and it was a beautiful picture, but we'll have to get that up at some point. But, you know, they took the kids to Jesus one day, and the disciples got mad. You remember that story in the Bible? Why are you bothering him? He's got tough work to do. He's got to do all this kind of stuff. Why are you bringing these little kids around to him? And Jesus was angry. In fact, Mark's gospel says he was much displeased. And he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." You know, even when Jesus was born, you know, he's God of all creation, right? But they still, his parents followed through with the dedication of him as an infant in the temple. You know? Dedication is not baptism, right? Somebody gets baptized, as far as we believe the Word of God says, once they come to faith in Christ, they make that decision for themselves. Then they say, "Yes, I need to be baptized," and they're baptized in water. Infant baptism, some do it, but it cannot save anybody. That's only, we're saved by the grace of God through faith, and that's faith in him as our Lord and Savior. So this is not baptism. But we do believe that it's appropriate to pray for everybody, but especially young children, to say, "Lord, thank you for blessing us with this young life." And we'll be praying for Joe and Sylvie to help them as parents to raise her in the love and the fear of the Lord. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, it will not depart from them. You ever hear that one before? Yeah. It even tells us in the Bible that for our children, that we ourselves should love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the command was given to Israel about their children. Teach them diligently when you're walking with them, when you're sitting at the house. You know, when you're just doing business, when you lie down, like at nighttime, to talk to them about, you know, the Lord, the scriptures, and, you know, pray, you know, when you wake up in the morning, even put them on your hands. In other words, have them available at all time, you know, keep it in front of their eyes, even upon your walls. And it's good sometimes to decorate our house, your houses, with scripture verses all around. It's just an amazing thing. But do that diligently to train up the children, to tell them about the Lord. You're ready to go, young lady, aren't you? So why don't we have Joe and Sylvie come up with Samantha? It's our first granddaughter. We have the boys, but it's our first granddaughter. And I've had the wonderful privilege of dedicating. Oh, hi. At least you know who I am, right? Yeah, hi. You see Samantha. I think I can put it right here. Say hi, everybody. I think she enjoys this. I think she likes this. So what we do is we just want to pray as a family. It's not just me praying. It's all of us praying together. we want to pray for these two, that they would raise Julian and Samantha to know the Lord, love the Lord. We pray for her protection, and we pray for her health. We pray that she would grow up to know the Lord from a young life. Amen. To know about him and then receive him as her Lord and Savior, you know. And we trust it all into his hands. We just say, Lord, thank you for this life you blessed us with. But in the way, similar way, when the woman, you know, Samuel's mom, Hannah, when she couldn't have a baby, she prayed hard and said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give that child back to you. And she did, after she weaned him. And I'm sure it killed her to give him to the work of the tabernacle at the time. But she did it. She followed through. And the Lord blessed her with other children later, and she was barren, but the Lord blessed her with children. But she dedicated her child. She said, Lord, this one is yours. Well, in that same way, you're not giving her up, are you, to anybody? Okay. But we say, Lord, you know, we give her to you because she is yours, and thank you for blessing us with this life. So let's pray. Guys, come here. Go ahead. Father, we just thank you today that as we pray together, we thank you for Samantha. We thank you for her life. We pray your protection over her. We pray that you keep her in all of your ways. We pray, Lord God, that she would grow up in the fear and the love of you. Lord, that she would come to a knowledge of you from a very young age, and she would receive you as her personal Lord and Savior, and she would be one that would tell others about you. We pray for Joe and for Sylvie that, Lord, you would bless them and keep them. And we thank you, Lord, for their desire, Lord God, to dedicate Samantha to you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would help them to be the parents that you've called them to be. Let them be led by your Holy Spirit. Help them, Lord, to learn about you more themselves. And, Lord, to direct, Lord, Samantha and Julian, Lord God, and that their household be a blessed household. That it, Lord, be one of peace and love. And, Lord, be filled with your Holy Spirit and your presence. So, Lord, as a family, we pray together. And we pray that whatever we can do to help them, that you would help us to give them what they need, Lord God, as they grow as parents, as they grow raise their children, Lord God. So we just thank you for these things, and we just give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Say bye. All right. Samantha. I think she's going to be a boss, I think. She's going to be a boss, I think. Yeah. Did we already pray? No, we didn't pray? Wow. What's going on with you guys? Did we pray at all this morning? Oh, good. Okay. I'm making sure. Did we just pray for Samantha? Oh, good. Father, bless your word now to our hearts. As we open it, as we read it, as we hear it, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. Let us with joy say, Lord, let not our wills but thine be done. And that, Lord, your word would not return void, but it would bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a bunch of young evangelists here yesterday. All right, we hosted Youth with a Mission. We hosted them last year. Last year, there was about 50 or so. This year, there was less, about 20-something. But part of the group went, oh, yeah, kids, you can go downstairs. Forgot about you. Part of them went to El Salvador. And the rest of them came where? South Philly. And I'm not sure what's more dangerous, El Salvador or South Philly. I don't know. So they both had to go into a rough mission field, you know. But we were glad to host them again and to have them be here. And they went out to down the lakes. You know, we know what the lakes are, right? Yeah, you know, FDR Park. I can't do that. So when they were down the lakes, they went down to the Phillies game. I don't know that they were able to set up there as like they thought. They went to, I think, a couple other locations. But, you know, God is good. And we were thrilled to host them yesterday. Thank you for everybody that helped. You guys all did a wonderful job. Thank you. And we'll let you know about things that we hear from what they did over the next week or so. We'll give you some updates. They will be, these kids are from, 13 to 18. These are young kids. And they just, with the joy in their heart and the boldness to go out and to do dramas and the skits and to talk to people and to share the gospel. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. So again, thank you for help and keep praying for them, because this is not their only stop. They're going to be going to other places too. They're going to be there for a few weeks doing this work. They're called Joshua Generation. It's one of the things with Youth with a Mission. It's called the Joshua Generation. So as we had them here yesterday and you know, you guys know me well enough that, you know, so many times when it's often, I mean, I'll be thinking or praying during the week about the message, unless we're in a particular series or something, you know, and then many times the Lord just, it's just sometimes as soon as I wake up on Sunday morning, you know, and I say to Meg a lot of times when it happens, I said, I got nothing to say. And she goes, yeah, God always gives you something to say. So I say, yeah, you know, I said, but, you know, I was actually thinking, you know, of some other scriptures during the week, but he just put on my heart this morning, last night and this morning kind of all blended together, so I didn't really sleep much, but Psalm 107. Do you have a Bible? Okay. I know you say you look in the screen. You can. We love the screen. We're glad for it, but I'd like you to get your Bibles out if you have them. You can use both. Do you have a device? What's a device? Your phone. Mute it, put it on silent, but then open up your Bible app. What's a Bible app? We could download. If you download the church app, it has a Bible app right with it. See how easy it could be? Turn to Psalm 107. Remember we talked about last week how the Psalms are so beloved and how many times are the cry of the human heart to God? And then we see God respond, you know, human emotion, human condition, human situation, you know. Psalm 107 begins the fifth section of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is in five sections. And Psalm 107 starts the last book, the fifth book, the fifth division, I should say, of the book of Psalms. The earlier parts of the book of Psalms, a lot of them, the early ones, there's many times these songs or poems or cries or scriptures of lament. Just crying out to God. Man, you know, just pouring out the heart. And interspersed within those psalms, you'll see, you know, a psalm of rejoicing. You know, lament, 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 rejoicing. Lament, lament, rejoicing. And when we get to this fifth division of the book of Psalms, it starts to be where there's many more psalms that are praise. Not that there's no lamentation at all in this section. There is some, but it's more geared towards or bent towards the praise side. And in this, we even have the songs of ascent, they call the Hallel Psalms, that they would sing as they would go to Jerusalem for the feast and all these different things. But this psalm is the one that begins this fifth division. And it starts off by saying, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It's interesting. That little oh is a very forceful word in its original language, especially. This is the Holy Spirit through the psalmist saying to us, hey, you, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We might say, yo, yo, not oh. We say, yo, give thanks to the Lord, man. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Do it. Don't be quiet. Don't sit back. Say it. Live it. Testify. Tell about it. I know most of you guys are not quiet. I do. I know. That's okay. I don't say there's anything wrong with it. The Jersey crowd's a little quiet. They are. That's all right. I'm getting them to talk a little more, you know. And if they're listening in, yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said I call you out. You can talk a little more. But you guys are a little bit more boisterous. But I know that sometimes when you get in those situations where you're supposed to be speaking out, you shut up and you get quiet. Mm-mm. Oh, let me tell you where I ate dinner last night. I was on Passion Man's place. I was great. You'll talk for like an hour about it, you know. Oh, I went to the Phillies game yesterday. Oh, it was great. You talk about, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's fine. We'll talk about those things. Oh, I just went on vacation. I just came back. You should see what we did, what we saw, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, sometimes you shut up. Yes, you're getting real quiet now. So, I mean, I think I'm hitting some chord okay there. I'm hitting a chord because everybody's real quiet. Yo, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Raise your hand if you've been redeemed. Praise God. And you know what redeemed means, right? Purchased with a price, bought with a price, bought back with a price. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So say so. Yeah, somebody's going to say so. Somebody's so, yeah. No, in other words, let those redeemed talk about it, shout about it, be ready to spell it out. You know why? He redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. You may think that you were just doing your own thing, but you were in the grasp of Satan, and you know what? You're on your way to hell. Don't ever forget that. Hell's a real place. Regardless of whether you wish it away or not think about it or try to say it's just a phony fairy tale, things like that, guess what? It's real. Jesus talked a lot about it. He doesn't lie. And it's not just for a time. It's eternal. It's awful to think about. And if you've been redeemed from that place, bought back from the brink of going down there by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, say so. That's right. Don't be quiet. Church, don't be quiet about it. He gathered them from the lands east to west, the north and the south. Now, in the original context, this is talking about gathering Israel. This was Old Testament Psalm, gathering Israel back from all the places they had been dispersed and so forth. He gathered them all back. But we could say in the New Testament, he gathered us all from different places. Maybe geographically, but from all walks of life, amen? He gathered you from there and there and there and there and what you were doing and what you were about, right? Didn't he gather you? And he's going to talk here in this psalm, the Holy Spirit, you know, through the psalmist here, he's going to talk in this psalm. And this is one of those psalms that I think, you know, we don't know who it is. But the Holy Spirit's the writer of the book of the Bible, you know, even though he used the human men to pen it out. He's going to talk about four kind of different types of people and different things and what they were going through. And the first group are these people that are wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Guess what? There's a lot of wanderers, and maybe you are a wanderer. Maybe not just, you know, you physically wandering around, but you are wandering through life. Just wandering through life, aimlessly. Yeah, maybe you had a good job. Maybe you had a family. Maybe you were doing things. But you knew there was really no point of it. It's just life. I'm wandering about. I'm just going around, just doing my thing and wandering. And you can never get stability from a spiritual thing, you know. You just go from flit to this one, that one. Maybe you try stuff. Maybe you try religion. Maybe you try, you know. Maybe you try, you know, philosophy, you know. Yeah, you try just being a good person, whatever. You're just wandering about, bumping along in life, wandering. No anchor. You know it, but you're kind of getting along, though. You know, you could be a wanderer and be doing okay. But eventually, you're going to find out you're really hungry and thirsty. And your soul is fainting inside of you. It's drying up. Because all of your pursuits, all of your stuff, all of your wandering, there's like nothing feeding really what really matters. And you're dry on the inside. You try to pretend you're not. And you fill it up with all kind of stuff to keep yourself kind of going and motivated. But inside, you know, I'm drying up. Then they cried. Unto the Lord. Not just cried out, oh, man, you know. No, they cried to the Lord. This was a cry of the heart. This was a cry back to its creator saying, what's going on? You may not even be able to say God. Like, I know when I cried out to the Lord, I didn't say God because I didn't believe in God. I didn't. So I said, hey. I didn't say, hey, buddy. If you're up there, I want to know. But at some point in the wandering, in my wandering, in your wandering, Because some of you were wanderers. Maybe some of you still are. Maybe some of you listening in are still wanderers. There's a point when your hungry, thirsty soul says, ow, hey, are you there? Whatever words come out, you cry to the Lord. Yeah, you've cried enough to other people. You bellyache to other people. But now you cry out to God. You get it? There's a difference. And God ignored them. Is that what it says? And some of you won't, I guess your eyes got real big. What? Wait, where? No, it doesn't say it. That's why you have to have your Bibles out. Because what if Jason would have changed the words and said, God ignored them? You'd be like, oh, the Bible says God ignored them. And then you got to check it out, make sure. No, he delivered them. He delivered them out of their distresses. When they cried, he heard and he delivered. Wow. Huh. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. You find a home. You find a place for your weary, wandering soul. Because he hears your cry, and he answers the cry of the heart. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wow, he's right. You're lost, you're wandering, you cry out, he delivers you, he sets you free, he gives you a home, and all of a sudden you say, I got to tell people, man. And if you don't, and that's why the psalmist says, oh, that men would. Would you cry out? Will you cry out? He satisfies their longing soul. That's why they're crying out and testifying, because the emptiness of their soul is now filled. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. By the way, that's kind of in Mary's Magnificat, you know, that we talk about Mary. Fill the hungry, you know, so that's kind of where I think this comes from. Such as sit in darkness. So he satisfies them. So now we got this other group. These are the ones that sit in darkness. And in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Yeah, maybe at some point and sometimes in their life, physical death. But I'm going to explain something that sometimes we all forget. Before the Lord gave me this to speak on today, I was actually thinking a lot about Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, it says at one point, it says, for to live is Christ, Donna knows, and to what? Die is gain. And I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, I think it was him, I'm not sure, but I think it was him who said in a sermon or something on this, he said, here it is, to live, comma, and separated by a few words, die. He says, that's what it is. Life and death are so close together. Now, my mom lives 90 years on this earth. God blessed us with her for 90 years. It was a blip. The moment you're born, you're dying. Some go sooner, some go later. But we're all in the shadow of death. We're all in the shadow of death. It's just a matter of what point of that shadow you're in. We're all in the shadow of death. And in some ways, we're all bound by stuff, things, bound up. Afflictions and iron. And in this case, now listen carefully, if you've been shutting me off so far, I want you to listen up a minute. Because unlike just the circumstances of everyday life, which do occur in some of these four groups you'll see, it's just stuff that happens. In this case, you know what happened to this group? They were like that because they rebelled against the words of God. They made a choice to rebel against the words of God. Maybe they heard about them. Maybe they used to go to church. Maybe they did religion sometime, maybe they did something, and they heard the words of the truth of God, but they said, not, and they rebel. They contemn the counsel of the Most High. No, I don't need to listen to God. I can do my, no, I don't need that wisdom. I don't need that understanding. No, I don't need it. I can make my own way. I can do my own thing. I'm smart. I'm good. So, I don't need God's counsel. So, God brought down their heart with labor. And they fell down. And there was none to help. Invariably, in your rebellion, in your turning away from God, rejecting of his truth. See, God's commands, by the way, are not grievous. They're good for us. The grievous part is when we don't obey his commands. Then it gets real dicey, and then you're just rolling, you're rolling the dice. But when you obey the commands of God, it's actually good. Yeah, they do point us to commands of God for the need for a Savior, because we can never keep God's, law perfectly. But it says it's a good law. His commandments are good. If you live by them, you're going to be blessed. But when you rebel against them, just the opposite is going to happen. And invariably, things are going to start crumbling down at some point. It happens to everybody. It's universal. It's universal. And when the fall comes, in which it will, there was none to help. I was reading a little bit too from Isaiah in like 42, 43, 44. And one of the things Isaiah says in there, he says, these people, they carve out idols. He said, once it was a table, and then they carved it into a little god, and they put it on the shelf and said, that's my god over there. Something they made with their own hands. And they said, that's my god. And they actually worship that thing. Now you say, oh, that's old times, they don't do that anymore. Yeah, but we might not do it with little wooden idols and stone and statues, but we do it with other things in our life, don't we? Don't we? We things of this world that we have, oh, my job, my career, my finances, my family, my relationships, whatever they are, I build those things into my life. And whether you say that you're a god, because you probably wouldn't use that term, but you do worship them, and that's what you're all about. They are your gods. Those things are your gods. And then invariably, when some of those things start to break down, and they will at some point, you cry out to them, and that's what Isaiah says. He says, and then in the day of calamity, they call to their god, and guess what? That god can't do anything. Can't do anything. Can't help them. A lot of people in financial crisis say, I have the best financial advisors, I got everything, and guess what? They can lose their shirt overnight. Or maybe they have it and nobody else does, and then everybody steals from them because they hit them over the head and take what they have because they want it now. Somehow you lose it. That can't help you. Even people that you idolize and people that you have in your life that you put up on that pedestal, so to speak, they're going to, sometimes they can't help you, even if they have the best intentions. They're just humans. Amen? They called out, and there's nobody to save them. Then they cried unto the Lord. Just like the first group of wanderers. These guys cried to the Lord. And he said, get away, you bother me. He said, wait, you rebelled against me. So go. Let your other gods help you. No. What's he do? He saved them from their distress. What? Really, even people that rebel against God and their hearts were hardened, who mocked God and turned away from all his counsel and were walking in all their things in the shadow of death, and they did it because they did it on their own with their own free will, and they finally cry out to God, he delivers them and sets them free and says, yes. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, broke those things that were binding them. He broke them in pieces. You're going to hear this in your sleep tonight. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why do you think they can't keep quiet anymore? Because God did that marvelous work in their life when they did not deserve it. They're not keeping quiet, are they? He broke the gates of brass, cut the bars asunder. So they praise him. Then we come to another group. Fools. Got any of those here? Got any fools here? Well, sometimes we think of the fool, and we all know there's people that just came to our minds as I said fools. You did. It's just certain images popped into your head, and you're like. Well, from a biblical point of view, a fool isn't like the class clown, the court jester, that kind of person. What is a fool according to the Bible? Come on, you know this. The fool says, in his heart, there is no God. I was a fool, because I said in my heart that there was no God. The fools, because of their transgression. You may say, wait a minute, I never said there was no God, but yes, guess what? You did, because the way you lived your life, there was like there was no God. You may have said in your to people, oh yeah, I believe in God, but you lived your life like there was no God. Be honest, right? Is this speaking to any of you here today? Yeah. Oh yeah, I believe in God, yeah, but you're out there doing all kind of nonsense. So you're saying you're a fool because you're saying there's no God by your lifestyle. So the fool, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, they're afflicted, because you know what sin brings? Death, destruction, always. Always, in some form, in some way, it's never going to do anything good for you. Yes, for a moment, it feels pleasurable. Yes, that's why we continue to go back to it sometimes. For the moment, that fleeting moment, the sinful thing for, you know, okay. And then it comes back, man, and it brings something, destructive with it all the time. So they're afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. They're to the point where like nothing's even pleasurable anymore because their sin is caught up with them. These fools, of which I know I was chief. Then they cry, unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saves them out of their distress. He saved the fool. Yeah, he saved this fool. He saved this fool. When I cried, he heard me. Isn't that amazing? He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from destructions. Now here it goes again. Oh, say it with me this time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Come on, fools. You got to talk it up, baby. See, let them, the fools, sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You know, there's no way that we could ever thank God for our salvation, truly. Words are not enough. The only way the Bible I know says that what we can do to really thank him is to offer ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. If you've been redeemed, you know what that means? He bought you back from the brink of death, hell, eternal hell. And how did he do that? With the price of what? Gold and silver? His precious blood. How could you repay that? The only one way. I'm yours. Help me to live for you. A sacrifice dies. A living sacrifice means you're dead to yourself now that you're his and you want to live for him. It's no longer about you anymore. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's a living sacrifice. And I live this life now by the power of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me, right? Be a living sacrifice. Thank him with your life. Rejoice. It goes on to say, be conformed not to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's right, Gloria. Every day our minds need to be removed. Sometimes renewed. Sometimes moment by moment. You get up in the morning and 5 minutes later after you looked at your phone, your mind needs to be renewed. We live in a crazy world and it ain't getting uncrazy fast. I have been on record by saying, and this is not the Bible talking, this is just me, my feelings. I said at the beginning of 24, this is going to be the craziest year we've seen. And it's already showing it out in so many things. I mean, even what we saw yesterday with the attempted assassination. I mean, come on, this world's getting crazier. Our country's getting crazier. The whole world's getting crazy. It's nuts. And it's going on and on. I mean, you know, it's because the world will keep going on. But there's things that are nuts. It's weird. And I'm still retaining it's going to be the craziest year we've seen. Or maybe if the Lord tarries, 25 will be even crazier. I don't know. But, I mean, this year is already off the hook. We need to be renewed. Because if you're not going to find it in this world. The world will make you go crazy. You got to come back to the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and spend time in prayer, spend time in church and fellowship, that your mind would be renewed, that you would know the perfect good will of God for you, for your life. Now there's one last group. Let's get to that, and then we'll close up. There's a last group. These are those who see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Verse 23, I'm sorry. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. Now, again, physically, yes, people have gone places on ships. Some of us have gone places on ships. But I kind of look at this as everybody who's just doing life. Just living life. And that's the majority of people. I'm just living life. And they want to be left alone, and they just want to live and do their thing. But in the course of life, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Have you ever been on a boat or a ship in a storm? Anybody? Raise your hand if you are. I want to know. Well, a couple of you have been. Well, guess what? I don't care how big that ship is in that storm, you're going to get tossed around like crazy. You could be on an aircraft carrier, man, and that thing, the power of the waves, the power of the wind, the power of all that stuff, it may toss you all around. That's what happens in life. You just live in life, and guess what? Storms come in everybody's life. Big storms, little storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, showers, thunderstorms, snowstorms. I mean, they just come, man. And they're real. And they will knock you. You'll reel to and fro, verse 27, like a drunken man. And you get to your wit's end. Because the storms are going to come. Just live in life. And the hope is at some point in one of those storms, just like, remember when the disciples were on the sea and they were going to the other side and the storm kicked up and these, most of them were seasoned fishermen, and they said, after trying to do everything they could do, these sailors, these guys knew what they were doing, they said, we're going to die. And they see Jesus sleeping in the boat. And they go, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? Because they knew they were going down. And they cried out to him. And these people that are just living life, when the storms come, at some point, verse 28, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And what did Jesus do when they cried out to him? He got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves and said, peace be still. Because we know that story, while it was physical winds and waves, there's that, and when you read that whole story, there's a hint, and more than a hint, there's a thing of the demonic. There was something demonic going on there, spiritual warfare going on there. He rebukes the winds and the waves, says, peace be still. Everything calms down. And when you cry unto the Lord in your distress, he makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. And they are glad because of their quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. When we cry out to him, he hears and answers the cry of the heart. Oh, say it with me one more time, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And listen what he goes on to say. I'm just going to read the rest. You just read it with me, right? Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, church, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they might prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and and plant the vineyards, which may yield the fruits of increase. He blessed them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are menaced or diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way, yet setteth the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. And instead of the fool, who is wise, will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And you'll say so. And you'll declare it. And if you need any further encouragement, we're going to close by saying this. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 10, because see all these people, all the things that happened to them, they know it. They've been redeemed. They were fools. He heard them out of distress. He broke their bands asunder. He saved them from the point of death. He set them. He did all these things for them, and they want to shout it out now. And nobody deserves it, but by his grace he does it. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever calls shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You mean me? Yeah, you. Yeah, but I'm a fool. That's okay. He loves you. Yeah, but I rebelled against him. He still wants you to come back. Yeah, but I've done that. It's okay. The Lord is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So even when you willingly rebel against him and reject his counsel, when you cry out to him in the midst, if you're just ignoring him and living life and you cry out to him, he's going to hear your cry. The thing is, cry out. Because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, in other words, when in truth, when you say, Lord, I do believe, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross for me and save me. Whenever you cry out to him, he will save you. But listen to this, church. This is for all of us now that have been redeemed, who know this, who were once fools, who are now wise. Listen to this. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe of him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You say, well, that's why I come to church. So the preacher can preach to me, and then I'll tell somebody else, and he can come, and the preacher can preach to them too. No, guess what? We're all preachers, or should be preachers. You know why we come together to church? One of the main reasons are so that we can be equipped to go out and do the work that we're called to do. Every one of us has a pulpit. Your home, maybe on the job, in your neighborhood, with your kids, with people that just, you have a pulpit. You're called to go express the good news, to cry it out. Because you've been redeemed and you got to say so. You've been saved and you got to say so. That you would see the goodness of God and you would tell people about it. And how shall they preach except they've been sent? You say, that's my loophole. I was never sent. Yes, you were. If you're a child of God, the Bible says that all his children, go ye into all the world. Go into all the world. Wherever that would be for you, that the Lord would send you, go. You've been called to go. So you've been sent. I've been sent. We've all been sent. As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In all the mess of this world, we have a good message, a message of hope and eternal life. And the world needs to hear it. And how are they going to hear it? Unless we declare it. Now, have they all obeyed the gospel? Isaiah said, who believed our report? That's not our problem. We want them all to believe. I hope we do. But our job is to do it, to declare it, to live it, to live a life of a Christian. So when you open your mouth, it's consistent with your lifestyle. And when you do so, people will hear. And guess what? Sometimes you're going to plant some seeds, and it will fall on stony ground, and the enemy will come and snatch it up. But other times, maybe to that same individual, you will plant some seeds or sow some seeds, and the ground will be ready to receive it. And then you're like, yeah, I think I'm getting somewhere. And then you don't see anything. But you continue to pray and you continue to live a life. And then somebody later comes along and puts a little water on it. And yet there's still nothing yet, but you're still praying, you're still waiting. And then somebody comes along later and there's the increase, there's the salvation. But none of it happens unless we sow the seed in the first place. That's what we're all called to do. Oh, that men would declare what? Say it. Put it back up, Jason. Put it up. You still got one there. Okay, pick any of those verses. Oh, that men would declare. Is he up there yet? He's going to get there soon. say? No, we'll get it. I'll read it to you. Okay. Verse 15 we'll pick. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Father, thank you for your word and your reminder of the gospel that we have been entrusted with. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for saving these fools that we were. Thank you, Lord God, for delivering us from bondage. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you, Lord God, that even when we willingly rebelled against you, you did not cast us away when we called upon you. Let us proclaim your goodness to all that would hear. And Father, for those today that have not yet received the report, Lord, some seeds were planted today. Lord, some were watered today. Lord, we're praying for the increase. But Lord, let us commit ourselves to proclaim the marvelous things you have done, planting those seeds of eternal life and trusting and believing for them to take root and to grow. So Lord, we love you. We thank you. Let us commit to living this life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Don't run right out. Encourage one another. Exhort one another today. But stand to sing a song one more time. And how can you keep from singing? Huh?
I don't know.
Come on.
Impossible.
Anybody want to sing a song to Jesus? How can you keep from singing the praises to him? Don't be quiet, church.
Praise. How can I ever say enough?